Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, head on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me. Please play this song on the radio. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, to the Emotion Minute. This is Emotion, the title track off of 2015's Emotion. I'm Chris Podcasts. With me, as always, Nico Vasillo.
Hey, everybody. I'm ready to feel all of this emotion.
Quickly, about this song, some credits, some songwriter credits. This song is written by Carly Rae Jepsen. She has writing credits on most of Emotion, but also was co-written by songwriters and composers Ben Romans and Christopher J. Baran. Nico, with the Nicopedia, this is a deep cut, so, I mean, we can't expect everything out of the Nicopedia. How are those two names related to Now and Again?
Gee, you know, I honestly don't know.
They are former members of the popular, I'm quoting genius off of popular, quote-unquote popular, early 2000s rock group, The Click Five, who we covered way back on Now and Again, somewhere around maybe episode 10.
Oh, that's crazy. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this one you definitely have, the Nicopedia has to back me up on this. They did the Just the Girl I'm Looking For song, right? That's them?
Absolutely.
All right, so they also wrote at least one track for Emotion, so, you know, kind of impressed. And this song, coming into the album, you start off with Runaway With Me, which could possibly be one of the best, you know, side A song one tracks ever. That sax that you mentioned in the pilot episode, just, it's such an incredible opener. It really sets the tone for the entire album. But I think Emotion kind of does too. And the production on this track really kind of sets the tone for the sound of Emotion as a whole. Because a great pop album needs to have great production. We talked about other pop albums we love, Robin, Sia, you know, Taylor Swift's Reputation. I think the production is one of the things that made that album kind of, like, not to the standard it should be held to. Like, it's bad production. A great pop album needs to have great production, and this lets you know, probably even more so than Runaway With Me, that it's going to be produced in such a intricate and well-crafted way without ever feeling overproduced. And I think that is an unsung kind of thing to celebrate about this album.
I think of the production on this album as impeccable. That's the word I like to use. Especially on this song, it captures that 80s vibe it's going for effortlessly.
Yes. And it does it without sounding like a retread. Like, it sounds like it's 80s style, but it also sounds modern. And there are artists who specifically go for really feeling authentically 80s. This has a vibe of that throwback without feeling like it's stuck in 1988. It feels like a firmly 2015 album.
Yeah, I love to say that this record sounds like all your favorite 80s songs you'd never heard before.
Yes, yes. Like, if, like, who, and that's sort of the thing. It's when I think about this album being kind of an 80s throwback, I do agree, like, it obviously is. But if you were to say, like, who is it a throwback to, I couldn't really name one artist. I think there's parts of it that are very Cyndi Lauper. I think there's parts of it that are very mall pop, you know, with your Tiffany's and your Debbie Gibson's. Maybe this song leans a little bit more Debbie Gibson than Cyndi Lauper. And I think there's parts of it that are very early Madonna, some Berlin even, like, even some Prince at times, like, with some of the things she's doing in her vocals. Like, I couldn't just say, oh, she's doing this artist or she's doing this artist. It's a pastiche, and that's what makes Emotion feel both timeless and nostalgic.
Well, and I also think we've sung the praises of what a modern record it sounds like. We're constantly singing the praises of how this song could have been by that person, this song could have been by that person. And that, you know, if you're going to compare it to somebody, it would have to be a Madonna. It would have to be someone who can so capably and cleverly chameleon that it's that level of perfection, that level of sharp brilliance. And, you know, you just don't get a lot of records like that. You don't get a lot of, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, I don't want to overblow the importance of this record, but, like, you don't get a lot of thrillers. Like, I know this isn't on that sales level, but for a generation who'd been waiting for a record like this, it is that level of significant.
Yeah, I mean, we will say it a million times that we both kind of think this is the best pop album in recent memory. Like, I don't want to narrow it down to a year and go back and have a tournament of the best pop albums, but, like, I mean, we talked about some really great albums as contemporaries, and this is better than them.
Truly, it stands out as one of the most well-thought, well-crafted pieces of music I can remember coming across. I feel like there isn't a moment that is poorly thought.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's why that this is a great title track. We talked in the pilot about how Carly Rae is never going to hit high notes that blow you away. The chorus of this song, the way she sings a lot of these lyrics, "In your fantasies, dream about me," the kind of the vulnerability, but the sexuality in her voice in this chorus is awesome. And that is a thing that's going to come through a couple of these emotion side A, side B, Cut to the Feeling, and so on tracks, is that some of these songs, they're just about fucking. And emotion is, you know, it's a song about fucking.
Yeah, and if it's not about fucking, it's certainly about expressing yourself through your body and through sound and through feeling. It's not a song about passive experience.
Right. "In your fantasies, dream about me and all that we can do with this emotion." Such like a simple concept, and we're, I don't think you'll catch us saying that Carly Rae Jepsen is an amazing lyricist. I don't think that'll happen very much.
No, that's probably the most reductive thing about her work.
Right, but I love the simplicity and the sexiness of this chorus so much.
Agreed, 100% agreed. I don't think you get better than... it sounds silly, but I don't think you get a whole lot better than that chorus.
And you do have some lines on this that are a little... Yeah, you know, I like them, but I recognize lines like, "Drink tequila for me, babe, let it hit you cold and hot. Let your feelings be revealing that you can't forget me not." You know, she's... I do always feel like she's writing a little bit... you know, she's 33. She's our age. I do kind of feel like she's writing from a younger perspective, but there's also the part of that that's just pop music in general. Pop music is more simplistic, and she is kind of going for that mall sound we talked about. So I'll never fault lyrics like that, but it does make those better ones stand out.
I maybe won't celebrate them. Yeah, I get that. I do. I think one of the things that makes this song click so well is that it does sell the idea of the record. A good title track should sell the idea of the record. Mm-hmm. I think this tells me what album she's trying to make in a very clear way. But I don't feel stumped for what she wanted to create a record about. This is a record about experiencing and feeling, and, you know, it could be a record about heartbreak, it could be a record about joy. This is one of those songs that gives you the promise of whatever the record's going to be.
Yeah, and I think lyrically, even, to kind of pile onto that, the theme of this album, if I had to, since this is the title track, I think it's a good one to start with. I think the theme of this album is maybe the one place that I will a little bit agree with Max Landis's Weird Manifesto, is that this album is kind of about longing in some ways. Like, throughout the album, I feel like there's someone that's like just within reach, but it's not quite there. And a lot of the tracks are kind of about that. Like, maybe it's just someone that you're super close with, but haven't made that connection with yet. Or maybe it's someone you're fucking, but you haven't made that emotional connection yet, and you would like to take it farther. The bridge, kind of, which I love in this song, I love how it slows it down with the "what if I turn the lights right down," that breathy "I feel it" coming through it. very, very sensual, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. That sounds like a gross word as I say it out loud, though. But hey, listen to the song. I think you'll understand what I'm feeling. You and me in the dark right now, I feel it. I love it. It does really set the tone for this album, lyrically, emotionally, no pun intended, and musically. Love it. It's great. It's great. I don't know if I love the unnecessary dots between the syllables, but other than that, love it.
I think the unnecessary dots between the syllables are so cute. I think it's just like, because it's how she sings it. It's the hits of emotion. It's just cute and fun. Mm-hmm. It feels super harmless. Whereas a lot of times stuff like that is cloying and really irritating. Emotion is just harmless to me.
I'm going to throw this to you because you're definitely the singer of the two of us. I'm such a big fan of runs in vocals. I love that pre-chorus, the na 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 na. That's the running up of all the lyrics, the running up of the pre-chorus, the notes, and that's something that throughout this album I think kind of continues too. Is for a pop album, there's a lot of times you can kind of feel like you know what the next chord is going to be. You kind of know what the next note is going to be. Like it should be here, here. I feel like this is not as predictable as a lot of pop albums are.
You know, I don't know if I agree that it's not as predictable as a lot of pop albums are, but I definitely get what you mean. She's like an Alicia Keys, not the world's greatest singer, so she makes up for it in cleverness. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think this is a cleverly sung record. So even if every song isn't the world's most knockout vocal performance, she uses her voice the best way she can.
Yeah, the songs, and even though some of the songs were not written for her, as we'll talk about in a future episode, I do feel like they crafted this to her strengths, this whole album. Her songs in general, they write to her strengths, which is performance, which is vulnerability in her voice, which is that whispery quality that she has, that airiness, that breathiness. Again, I will liken her to Kylie Minogue. I think Kylie Minogue is the only other artist that could really have sung emotion and performed it if someone was doing a cover album. I think their lyrical styles, their vocal performance styles are very, very similar. And I like that. I like that you don't necessarily have to belt out every single line. And it allows the music to shine through more when the vocals don't need an entire soundscape for themselves.
Yeah, like a Diana Ross. Diana Ross is never going to blow down the house. That's not her voice. But she can still sing powerfully and capably, and no one's ever going to say that Diana Ross, she can't sing.
And the playfulness of the synth on this song, something I don't know if there's a more playful synth on this album other than maybe, well, definitely Let's Get Lost has the most playful synth. But I just love little synth lines that come through that bum, 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 following the chorus. That she gives the instruments time to kind of have their moment, which makes the song more memorable because you're not just hooked by the chorus. You're not just hooked by the lyrics. You're also hooked by riffs. You got some fun little drum stuff in this. You've got the multiple fun little synth lines in this song that all come back to that really clever songwriting and the production and giving everything space to breathe.
She's someone who understands how to let the song tell itself. The playfulness and the joyfulness and the excitedness that she wants you to feel from emotion comes through because it's bouncy all the way through.
And I think that's an important thing, and that's kind of the take-home message of this song as a representation of the album. Kind of like with movies, I feel like movies are kind of becoming more homogenous as, like, I know you're the superhero, you know, the podcast guy, so I can throw this to you, but, like, I kind of feel like movies, especially ones that are trying to tell this year-long story or a part of a greater connected universe or whatever, I feel like they kind of forget that they're movies and they're not just lore, because to have a great film, you still need to think about shots. You need to think about your color palette. You need to think about your lighting. You know, everything can't be homogenous and just, you know, we just need to have these guys punch each other. You have to let everything breathe. These are bigger works than just lyrics. They're bigger works than just scenes, you know? And Emotion is a pop album that works as an entire album and not just a song, not just a chorus, not just a radio sing-along. And that's why it wins. That's why it gets a podcast all to itself.
That's why it gets a bod. That's why it gets a podcast. Yup. That's why it gets a podcast.
The podcast is the podcast that we're doing next, which is entirely taking your Instagram picture by picture and talking about it.
So this is the one where he shows the most dong.
And that's the Emotion Minute for this week. I'm Chris Podcasts. For Nico Vassillo, we'll catch you on the flip side.
See ya.